Thank you everyone for coming this morning. With the permission of all the seniors and Vaishnavas here, with your blessings, I try to share something on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very beautiful section. Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter number 4, entitled Sri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. And we're reading from text number 94 and 95. So I'll just read 94 and then 95 is on the board. The next day, almost as before, there was an anakut ceremony. All the brahmanas prepared foods and Gopal accepted them. So now we read from text number 95. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness is Rajabhumi or Vrindavan, where the people are naturally inclined to love Krishna and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it is said, Ye yatham mam prapadyante tamstateva bhajami aham. There is a responsive cooperation between the Supreme Lord Krishna and his devotees. The more a devotee sincerely loves Krishna, the more Krishna reciprocates. So much so that a highly advanced devotee can talk with Krishna face to face. Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The actual mission of the human life is to understand Krishna and return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one who is sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord with love and faith can talk with Krishna and receive instructions by which he can speedily return home back to Godhead. Today, many scholars defend the science of religion and they have some conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but religion without practical experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no religion at all. Srimad Bhagavatam describes this as a form of cheating. Religion means abiding by the orders of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is qualified to talk with him and take lessons from him, if one is not qualified to talk with him and take lessons from him, how can one understand the principles of religion? Thus, talks of religion or religious experience without Krishna consciousness are a useless waste of time. Srila Prabhupada ki. So here we are hearing all about the cherished land of the Vaishnavas, Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a person who had realization of Vrindavan. Because we may remember the story of how Miniketana Ram, the great devotee of Lord Nityananda, once came to his home. And the priest in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's home disrespected Miniketana Ram. So a great Vaishnav was disrespected in the home of Kaviraj Goswami. When Miniketana Ram left, unhappy, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was plunged into anxiety. Most of the time, when a devotee is offended, you just think, like, what's up with him, you know, like, why is he so miserable, you know? We think it's the other person. Oh, that person's oversensitive. They're just, you know, they're going off on their own one. No, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, a great devotee has been offended in my home. That means spiritually I will lose everything and most likely materially I will also lose everything. Because he was in so much fear, so much anxiety. That night he couldn't sleep. This in itself is a teaching, like how scared the devotees must be of offending someone. He was besides himself with fear. But one amazing thing happened in the middle of the night. Nityananda Prabhu came to him in a dream. अरे अरे कृष्ण दास ना करह भाय, वृंदावन यहाँ तहाँ सर्वलभ्य हाय। अरे अरे कृष्ण दास, ओ माय डियर कृष्ण दास, ना करह भाय, डोंट वरी अबाउट एनीथिंग, टुमारो मॉर्निंग व्हेन यू वेक अप, वृंदावन यहाँ तहाँ, जस्ट गो टू वृंदावन, सर्वलभ्य हाय, देयर यू विल गेट एवरीथिंग। सो ही वोक अप द नेक्स्ट मॉर्निंग, it was like, okay, I'm ready. I mean, it takes something also to just get up and leave like that. Kaviraj Goswami just left. He went to Vrindavan under the instruction of Nityananda Prabhu. If one takes the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul and follows with all sincerity and seriousness, everything will come. So he did that. He went to Vrindavan, and what happened? He got the topmost residence in the entire creation. He was living in Radhakund by Manasa Pavan Ghat, where Radharani herself, even today, comes to take her afternoon bathing. He got the topmost association in the entire creation. He was living with Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. I mean, these were like the top class Vaishnavas. And he got the most, topmost service in the universe to write all about the pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what more does a devotee need than this? To live in a place where there are Vaishnavas, to have the association of Vaishnavas, and to have service. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got the topmost of each one of those. Why? Because when Nityananda told him, Vrindavana yahataha, sarva labhya hai, go to Vrindavan, you'll get everything, he just followed. So Vrindavan is a magical place. I mean, just reading this, the ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness is Vrindavan, where the people are naturally inclined to love Krishna, and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. Who wants to go like Vrindavan? Like, okay, I'm ready. Sign me up. So yes, we want to go Vrindavan. Actually, once we were having a talk with the youth here, the Pandava Sena, there were a few of them were going to Vrindavan. So we're talking all about the glories of Vrindavan and going to Vrindavan. And then one of them puts their hands up with a question. Yeah, okay, what's your question? He said, Sutapa, what's the nightlife like in Vrindavan? The nightlife in Vrindavan. I mean, you're not going Ibiza here or Ayanapa or something. So what's the nightlife like in Vrindavan? So I said, well, the nightlife in Vrindavan. Well, the Echai Gosai Jabe Braje Koilovas Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Korila Prakash. The Goswamis reveal the nightlife of Vrindavan. Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Korila Prakash, that the divine couple are performing their pastimes. So I said, anyway, you don't worry too much about the nightlife of Vrindavan for now. You may not be able to see all this Nitya Leela going on. Instead, just make sure you get an early night in Vrindavan, and worry more about the morning life. Just get yourself to Mangalarti and go for the morning program. Because who can actually see Vrindavan? Therefore, Narottam sings, no? Vishaya chariya kabe shude habe man, kabe hama herebo shri Vrindavan. Vishaya chariya, only when you give up sense gratification, shude habe man, and your mind has become completely purified, only then you will be able to see Vrindavan. But still, we go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place of perfection, but it's also a place of purification. So then the Vaishnavas take shelter of Vrindavan. Yes, it's the perfect place. It's the spiritual world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had many illustrious disciples who were incredible scholars, writers, incredible personalities, and one of his disciples writes about Vrindavan. He's really like amazing writer. He says, Vrindavan is a transcendental realm that most people have never come across. Vrindavan is a place where Krishna seeks his devotees as much as his devotees seek him. Vrindavan is a place where Krishna loves his devotees as much as they love him. And Vrindavan is a place where Krishna needs his devotees as much as they need him. Vrindavan is a place where Krishna is more natural than supernatural. And Vrindavan is a place where Krishna is more human than superhuman. I was like, wow. Like, that's powerful, you know. So Vrindavan it's a place of perfection. But it's also a place of purification. And therefore, what the Vaishnavas do is they come to this world, and Vrindavan is a gift of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas invite the whole world to Vrindavan. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Raghunath Das Goswami, in a beautiful verse, he says, Nama Shrestam Manamapi Sachiputram Atra Svarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Murupurim Mathurim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mohradika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. This beautiful verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, my guru, my spiritual master, he gave me so many gifts. What's the first gift that the spiritual master gives? Nama Shrestam, the beautiful divine name. The name of Krishna is a gift of the guru. Sachiputra Matra, what's the second gift of the spiritual master? He introduces you to Lord Chaitanya. And then what's the next? Sachiputram Atra Svarupam. The next gift of the spiritual master, he introduces to Nam. He introduces you to Gauranga. And then he introduces to Gauranga's secretary, Swarup Damada. And then Rupam Tasya Grajam. The next thing Guru does is he introduces you to the foremost disciples of Gauranga, Rupa and Sanatan. And then what does the Guru do after that? Maturim Gostavatim. Next thing he does is he introduces you to Vrindavan and Mathura. Guru not only introduces you to Mathura and Vrindavan, but then what does he do? Radha Kundam Girivaram. He takes you to Vrindavan and then he takes you to the most sacred place in the entire universe. Radha Kund. Giri Govardhan. And ultimately, Radha Kundam Girivaram Ahradika Madhavasam. Ultimately, what the Guru then does through all of this is he introduces you to Radhika and Madhav, the divine couple, and their most exalted pastimes in the transcendent realm. So this is what the Guru is actually doing. Step by step, the Guru is basically revealing different aspects of spiritual wealth, which ultimately will connect us to the loving service of the divine couple. And one of the most important gifts of the Guru is the introduction to Vrindavan. Actually, one can never actually enter into Vrindavan without the mercy of Guru. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's story is very significant because Nityananda Prabhu represents Adi Guru. So when the Adi Guru says, Vrindavana Yahataha Sarva Labhyahai, then it carries weight, because it's coming from instruction from Guru. So basically what the Vaishnavas are doing is they're gifting us Vrindavan. Vrindavan takes many, many forms. There is Vrindavan in the spiritual world. This is known as Goloka. There is Vrindavan in the earthly realm, which is known as Bhoma. There is also Vrindavan within a Vaishnava, which is known as the inner Vrindavan. And then there's the Vrindavan which can be created by the Vaishnava. That's known as the outer Vrindavan. And what a Vaishnava is basically doing is introducing all these four aspects to the devotee. By a Vaishnava's teachings, they introduce the devotee to Goloka Vrindavan. By their Vaishnava's example, they introduce the devotee to Vrindavan through their own consciousness and presence. By the service of a Vaishnav, the Vaishnav creates Vrindavan and devotees can then benefit from Vrindavan like that. And by the inspiration of a Vaishnav, one is then gaining entrance to go into Bhoma Vrindavan and gain inspiration from there. So basically, the entire life of a devotee is just to give Vrindavan to others. No, but I thought we're giving Krishna to others. But no, Mahaprabhu's opinion, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Satanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. If you tell people about Krishna, but you don't tell them about Vrindavan, then you're basically doing half job. Therefore, what is the opinion? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam. What's the opinion of Mahaprabhu? That the worshipable object is Vraja Isha Tanayas, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Tadhama Vrindavanam, who is living, functioning, and interacting in Vrindavan. So the Vaishnavas are basically introducing us to Vrindavan in these four aspects. Everyone got it? The transcendent Vrindavan, Goloka, the earthly Vrindavan, Bhoma, the inner Vrindavan, the devotee, and the outer Vrindavan, what is created. Let's just look at each one of these one by one. First thing the devotee is doing is introducing us to Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote all of these books. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us songs like Jaya Radha Madhav. Prabhupada introduced Jaya Radha Madhav in 1971 in Gorakhpur. He introduced this song for the first time. So Prabhupada, one day, I think it was in February of 1971, it's described in Leelamrit, Prabhupada, before the class, began to sing Jaya Radha Madhav. The devotees had not heard it before. And then after the song, Prabhupada said, this song is the complete picture of Vrindavan. Krishna is there, Nanda is there, Yashoda is there, the gopis are there, Govardhan Hill is there, Yamuna is there, everything is there. This is the complete picture of Vrindavan. Second day he sang it, he started to give more explanation. Vrindavan is simply enjoying. Krishna is enjoying, Yashoda is enjoying, Nanda is enjoying, the gopis are enjoying. It's simply a realm of enjoyment. Third day, Prabhupada sang Jaya Radha Madhav. After he sang Jaya Radha Madhav, Prabhupada began again some explanation. And he couldn't speak. He stopped speaking. Because he went into ecstasy. He went into ecstasy remembering that divine realm. So the devotees could see. Prabhupada became choked up, tears. Baba said, just do kirtan. So Prabhupada, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, introduces us to Goloka Vrindavan through the books, through the songs, and ultimately through their descriptions. So Prabhupada had to describe Goloka Vrindavan and introduce people to how amazing that realm was, and Prabhupada described in different ways at different times. When the hippies asked Prabhupada, what is Vrindavan? What is the spiritual world like? Prabhupada said, it's like an ocean of LSD. So this is also part of the spiritual master's service to introduce people to Vrindavan, to introduce it in such a way that they will appreciate and understand and become inspired to go there. So this is first thing that a spiritual master does. By their teachings, they connect us to Goloka. The second thing a spiritual master does is by their own life, they introduce us to Vrindavan because they embody Vrindavan within their own consciousness. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, Vrindavan is not just a place. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So because the pure devotee has internalized Vrindavan so much, all of the qualities of the residents of Vrindavan become manifest within the Vaishnav. And in that sense, the Vaishnav is Vrindavan because the spirit of Vrindavan is 100% recreated within their own being. So if we take a moment to kind of begin to contemplate what is Vrindavan consciousness, and you study the residents of Vrindavan, then you'll begin to understand these are all the aspects that encompass Vrindavan consciousness. The first thing is service attitude. This is where it begins. Because in Vrindavan, the service attitude is incredible. I mean, just take a simple story like the fruit vendor who gives, okay, she's coming round with her fruits, and then Krishna, small little Krishna, sees her. So what does Krishna do in his small hands? He picks up whatever he can because it's a system of bartering. And then with his small hands, how much will he grasp? How many grains will he be able to grasp? So he grasps what he can. And then he runs to the fruit vendor. And while he's running, naturally, you know, these like kiddies, you know, like half of the grains drop. So factually, what is even there when he reaches the fruit vendor? But she's so enchanted by Krishna. He says, anyway, whatever you have, give it to me. You take everything. Take it all. No problem. Such a magnanimous spirit. And then what happens? She gives all her fruit. She empties all her fruits for Krishna. And then what happens? She looks back and her entire basket is filled with jewels. Such a service attitude. Like I really like this verse in the Pujari. They have these verses. Stiti seva gatir yatra smritis chinta stutir vacha bhuyat sarvat mana vishnu madhyam tvai chaistitam. And I really love the first line of that translation. It says, let my normal condition be service. It's like beautiful. Let my normal condition be service. Most of the time we have to psych ourselves up to do some devotional service. Isn't it? Like when you phone someone and you have to ask them to do a service. And it's like, you know, there has to be a period of like, you know, warming up the conversation, you know. It's like, yeah, how are you doing? How's the lockdown going? You know, yeah, everything okay? Like family all right? In your mind, you're thinking, when am I going to drop the bombshell? And in their mind, they're thinking, when's he going to drop the bombshell, you know? Because we are not like, I always appreciate, we have a devotee here, Jayesh Prabhu, he's the mechanic. Like, so he fixes all the temple cars. I mean, the Hare Krishna temple, like, there can't be a bigger demand for fixing cars than a Hare Krishna temple, you know? So, like, we're always going there to fix the cars. It comes to the point now where I ring him. And it's like, I'm ringing him, and then he picks up the phone. He's like, yeah, bring it in, bring it in, bring it in. I'm like, how did you know, you know? But I appreciate that service attitude. It's like, there's no hello, there's nothing. It's just like, yeah, I'm here to serve. Bring it in. Karuna Ras Prabhu is like that as well. Some of you may know Karuna Ras Prabhu is a doctor, our dear devotee. And when you ring him, within like 10 seconds, he's like, tell me, Prabhu, tell me, tell me, tell me. Because he knows, you know, there's going to be some service here. But that's so nice. That's such a nice spirit. That spirit of service. One time a devotee came to me and asked me to do some, unexpected service. Atithi. You know, not according to the service schedule. So I was like, you know, no, I can't do it, I'm too busy. In my mind, I'm thinking, how offensive of this devotee. I mean, doesn't he know how busy I am? I mean, this is like aparad to ask me, you know, like, he's obviously not a sensitive Vaishnav, you know. So I was like, no, I can't do it, I'm way too busy. I went up to the ashram, and then I analyzed my life. I analyzed my schedule for that day. And I was like, according to my schedule for this day, Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. I was like, according to my schedule for this day, I don't have time for the service. So I was right. Look, it's here. The proof is here in my diary. I've got all these things going on. This devotee, he asked me to do this. I just can't fit it in. The proof's here. My day is packed. I was right. And then I realized I was right, but I was wrong. I was right, but I was wrong. Because the initial mood of Vrindavan, the initial mood of service should be yes. And then it's like, oh, but I can't do it because this, oh, Prabhu, sorry. I want to, but I can't. In other words, is the seva bhav there? Is the attitude of service there? if the seva bhav is there, even if you're not able to do the seva, you know what? You still get benefit because the bhav is there. More important than even the most important is the seva bhav. So Vrindavan means a place of seva bhav. This is Vrindavan consciousness. What else is Vrindavan consciousness? Vrindavan consciousness means a place where everyone is always thinking of Krishna as well. Like Raghunath Das Goswami writes in a song, Ekada Krishna Virahad Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam Manobashpa Nirasaya Jalpanditam Muhur Muhu. He's talking about Srimati Radharani. And he says, Ekada, one day, Krishna Virahad, Radharani was feeling separation from Krishna. Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam, she was meditating, when will I see Krishna again and again? When will I be with Krishna again and again? Manobashpa Nirashaya, to relieve her mental anxiety, what did she do? Jalpanditam Muhur Muhur, she began chanting again and again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's very interesting because it means that when the devotees are with Krishna, naturally they're focused on Krishna, everything, their mind, body, words, everything is invested in Krishna. But even when they're away from Krishna in Vrindavan, they're constantly thinking about Krishna. Dhyayanti Priya Sangamam, again and again thinking, when will I be with Krishna? Who is that devotee who is chanting and always thinking, when will I be with Krishna, while they're chanting? That's Radharani's chanting. To relieve her anxiety of not being with Krishna, she's chanting again and again. So when she's chanting, she's feeling, I'm with Krishna. So when you're chanting, thinking, when will I be with Krishna? When you're chanting simply to relieve your separation from not being with Krishna, then you can understand you're in Vrindavan consciousness. This is Vrindavan consciousness. What else is Vrindavan consciousness? Incredible faith. Are you ready to go to Vrindavan? What do you think, Amit Krishna? Are you ready to go to Vrindavan? Do you want to be a resident of Vrindavan? You do want to. Are you ready? Are you ready for all the chaos, all the bewilderment, all the incredibly confusing things that happen in Vrindavan? Are you ready? I mean, imagine Vasudeva and Devaki are like, they have to give their children over to Kamsa. Because Kamsa is going to kill them. And then Kamsa has a change of heart. She's like, no, it's going to be the eighth child. I don't need to kill them. So he's like, no, I won't kill your children then. So I mean, as parents, he's like, wow. Relief. And then in Vrindavan, the most saintly person in the whole creation comes and says to Kamsa, what are you doing? Kill their kids. I mean, that's the most saintly person in the universe telling the person to kill your kids. This is how bewildering Vrindavan is. I mean, we may see a sannyasi, and they may not look at us. Think like, why do you not look at me? You know, like maybe there's something wrong with him. Like, you know, like, I'm beginning to doubt his character now, you know, because he didn't look at me. Any small thing can cause us to doubt in this world. Are you ready for Vrindavan, where the most bewildering things happen and not one grain of doubt comes in the Vaishnavas? Are you ready? We're not ready for Vrindavan. That's the point. That's why what Krishna does is he begins to send the most confusing, bewildering, difficult, chaotic conditions in the material world. And he's like, okay, first you practice here a little bit. See if you can digest it all here first. Because if you can't digest it here, up there is tenfold. But what happens in Vrindavan is because of the intensity of love of the Brajabasis is so strong, everything else pales into insignificance. Even the most confusion and bewilderment, it doesn't affect them because the intensity is so strong. So this is Vrindavan consciousness. Now we can understand how exalted Vrindavan consciousness is. So the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, embodies this Vrindavan consciousness. So when someone comes in the vicinity of such a person, they feel, I'm in Vrindavan. It's said in by Rupa Goswami that there are two receptacles of bhava. Receptacle means like a cup. Two overflowing cups of bhava in the creation. You know what they are? One is the dham, is overflowing with bhava, spiritual emotion. And the other receptacle of bhava in the world is the pure devotee, who holds the dham within his heart. So what Rupa Goswami says is that these two are overflowing with bhava. So if you are a conditioned soul and you come in the vicinity of that cup, either the dham or the pure devotee, because the bhava is so overflowing from them, you also get boom, few drops. You get some insight. You get some experience way beyond your level of realization simply because you're in the proximity of a receptacle of bhava. So that's why by being in the midst, just in the proximity of a Vaishnava who is embodying Vrindavan consciousness, one can experience some entrance into Vrajaprem by their own purity. So this is the second aspect, that a devotee gives Vrindavan to the world by embodying Vrindavan consciousness within them. Third aspect is a devotee gives Vrindavan to the world by creating Vrindavan around them. Therefore it's said, Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live. Because a devotee creates Vrindavan. Krishna says, Naham tistami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tistami narada. I'm not just in the transcendent Vaikuntha. I'm not just yoginam hridayeshuva. I'm not just in the hearts of the devotees. Yatra gayanti madbhakta, where my devotees are lovingly chanting, serving, and focused on me, tatra tistami narada, I also come to that place. So a devotee, by his purity, is able to create Vrindavan. Prabhupada, because he had incredible purity, he was able to create a movement which was like Vrindavan. This movement is like Vrindavan. Sometimes it's also like Kurukshetra. But most of the time, most of the time it's like Vrindavan. Other devotees, by their purity, they may be able to create a community of Vrindavan. We have many communities like that across the world. New Vrajadham, like this. A devotee by their purity may be able to create a temple and make that into Vrindavan. By their purity, they create that atmosphere. Another devotee may be able to make their family into Vrindavan. Their family life into Vrindavan. Therefore, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this in one of his songs. Ye dina grihe bhajana deki grihete golokabaya. Ye dina grihe. Every single day when I go home, bhajana deki, and I begin doing my bhajan, grihete golokabaya, I see my whole family life turned into Goloka Vrindavan. So I don't know how many of those sitting at home, watching online in their living room, are seeing Vrindavan manifested before them. That's the influence of a pure devotee, that they create that Vrindavan around them. And then the final way that a devotee introduces us to Vrindavan is by inspiring us to go to Boma Vrindavan. Because Krishna's gift to the world is to bring his entire abode here. And therefore, Prabhupada wanted everyone to go to Vrindavan and become inspired. Isn't it? They have these t-shirts. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Once a devotee was wearing, one of the young guys was wearing that t-shirt. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. And then Jai Advaita Maharaj was there and he goes, I hope you lost it to the right person. You know, Krishna, of course. We want to lose our hearts to Krishna in the spiritual world. In Bhoma Vrindavan. So Bhoma Vrindavan is a great place of inspiration. It's said that Bhoma Vrindavan, there are two Shaktis. Actually, we can say three Shaktis that are acting. There's Taraka Shakti, Paraka Shakti, and then there's Yoga Maya. So in Bhoma Vrindavan, what happens is these two Shaktis. Taraka Shakti means the Shakti that's liberating one from material influence. Paraka Shakti means the energy of the Lord that is attracting one to give their heart to Krishna. But then it's said by the Acharyas that this Taraka Shakti and Paraka Shakti cannot be accessed unless one is able to penetrate the Yoga Maya that also surrounds Vrindavan. So there is a layer of covering. And unless one is able to penetrate that layer of Yoga Maya and get access to the real Vrindavan, the substance of Vrindavan, then one cannot benefit from Paraka Shakti and Taraka Shakti. Therefore, Bhoma is there, a receptacle of bhav, but it's covered by Yoga Maya. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the holy dham is like a deep ocean which is filled with jewels, but covered by a thin layer of oil. So if you've ever seen an oil spill, then it covers the whole surface. So if you look at it superficially, you think, oh my God, it's like an ocean of oil. But if you just move a little bit beyond the external, you see, wow, it's a beautiful ocean inside. So we go to Vrindavan, we become inspired. And that's what Mahaprabhu is saying here. The ideal place to live is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, one will meet, even today, Prabhupada says, incredible people. Once there was one of these devotees in Vrindavan doing, the Dandavat Parikrama. Normally they have like 100 stones. You've seen, right? You go to Govardhan, you see like one stone, do a Dandavat, another stone, 108 like that, and then go forward. Do the whole 22 kilometers like that. This one had more. It looked like 1,000. So then someone asked him, like, how did you end up deciding to do this vrat in your life? This looks like it's going to take you your whole life, by the way. Just in case. So they asked him, like, how you made the decision to come here and take this vrat? You know what he said? He said, I was reading Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. He said, I was reading. Krishna is saying. He said, they told me this was the most important verse in the Gita. So I was really deeply thinking about this verse. So he said, the first thing Krishna says, Manmana, give your mind to me. He said, I'm looking at my mind. My mind is like a horror movie. I mean, I do not have a pure mind. So when I was reading this verse, I was thinking, Krishna says, Manmana. But what do I have to give with my mind? My mind is so contaminated. There's no point giving my mind to Krishna. He will not get anything from that. So then he said, I went on further in the verse. The verse says, Madbhakta, become my devotee. Become a bhakta. He said, I thought about that. But then Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.1.11, Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anu shilanam bhakti rutama. What does it mean to be a bhakta? To be a bhakta means anya bhilash shunyam. All other desires, zero. Because like, I'm not there. How will I become a devotee? He said, Manmana can't do it. Madbhakta can't do it. Madhyaji, Krishna says, worship me. So I thought, okay, but I have no, when I worship, I'm all over the place. Arati, rati means attachment. Arati means lots of attachment. So real worship means to direct one's mind, body, facilities towards Krishna with great attachment. That's real deity worship. He says, I can't do that. But then what does Krishna say? Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So he said, Arid, mam namaskuru. He said, like, offer your obeisances to me. So he said, I read that and I thought, offer your obeisances. Yeah, well, seems like there's not any extra requirements around that one. You just have to offer your obeisances. So he said, then I decided. I'll just dedicate the rest of my life, mam namaskuru, to offering obeisances to Krishna. Think like, wow. These are the kind of people you meet in Vrindavan. These are the kind of people you meet. And that's why we go to Vrindavan, because it's a place where there are people of having a very amazing connection with Krishna. I'll end with one final story of people in Vrindavan. It's important to go to Vrindavan. Once my spiritual master asked me, for many reasons, somehow or other, when I joined the temple, I first went to Vrindavan. And then for many years, I never went to Vrindavan for one reason or another, because of service or whatever. So then one day my spiritual asked me, when was the last time you went to Vrindavan? I said, Maharaj, that's like 8 years ago. I haven't been to Vrindavan for 8 years. And he looked at me and he said, then you are a ghost. You're a ghost. He said, you're living, but you're not living. You must go to Vrindavan. So then I began going to Vrindavan. I don't want to be a ghost, you know. So then I began going to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan was incredible. Like so many Vaishnavas you meet and so many stories. But I'd just like to share one story with you of, again, shows the power of those who are staying in Vrindavan. So once I was staying in Vrindavan, I was staying in the ashram. So, you know, I was kind of on my program, doing my thing. Early morning, strict sadhana, mangalati, lots of reading, parikrama, full engagement. Like, so every day when I was working in the ashram, I would always see this one person, like a Bengali, like short Bengali man. And he kind of had like a pot belly, let me just say it, for what it is. We're not the body after all. Yeah, he was like a short Bengali guy with a pot belly. And every time I walked into the ashram or out of the ashram, he was in an apron and he was like cooking. So it's my fault finding mind, you know, was saying like, why is this guy always cooking? Because he had a pot belly, I thought he probably eats a lot as well. I think that, why is this guy cooking so much, eating, like, you know, Vrindavan is the place. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito chatyanta dino chayo. The Goswamis came to Vrindavan, they gave up eating, they gave up sleeping. Like, there's better things, Prabhu, that you can do with your time here than just cooking it up every day, you know. So I didn't say it to him, of course. Then what happens? Anyway, I didn't engage with him so much. It was the day I was leaving Vrindavan. Then what happens is I always take the night flight out of Delhi, because I usually go from Vrindavan to Mayapur. So the night flight leaves about 3 in the morning. So I leave Vrindavan at like 11 at night. So I was in my room at 10 p.m. I was waiting for the taxi driver to knock on the door and then say, that's it, going. So it's always a reflective time, the hour that you're leaving Vrindavan, because you think like, okay, I don't know, will I ever come back to Vrindavan? Will I ever make it back? Krishna, please tell me what's the final things you want me to learn while I'm here. So I was writing, I was trying to internalize everything, prayers, I was deeply thinking, these are my final hours, the final hour in Vrindavan, what am I supposed to learn? So it was about 10 o'clock, and then there was a knock on the door. So I thought, like, this taxi driver's early, you know, like, I still need an hour, I need to gather my thoughts, this is valuable time. So I opened the door, and it wasn't the taxi driver. It was the potbelly Bengali cook. I was like, yeah. Like I saw him and in my mind I was thinking like, I've only got an hour left. I can't be getting into like any deep conversations or anything now. Like I need to meditate, contemplate. So I opened the door and I was kind of like tempted to just close it and be like, no, I'm doing my thing. He says, no, Prabhu, I've been seeing, and then he looks at me, he says, Prabhu, I've been seeing you all week. I said, yeah, I've been seeing you too. So he said, please come with me. So I was like, oh man, like, I'm writing my diary here. I'm trying to go into some deep thoughts. But anyway, then he bowed down and he said, no, please, you come with me. So then I couldn't say no. So I walked out with him. We walked across the courtyard of the ashram. And then we went round to the back. This is at 10 o'clock at night. Went round the back, and there was this huge makeshift kitchen. Huge pots. And basically, there was like a huge feast that he had cooked up. I mean, feast means I'm talking like 500 people. Huge pots. He's like, I've been waiting to feed you all week. But every time I've seen you, you've just, like, you go quick. You're a hard guy to catch. He said, but I want to feed you. So then immediately I was thinking, so then I was like, it's 10 o'clock at night. Why have you cooked such a big feast? Like, and then he began telling me a story. He said, I had a big job in Delhi. All my responsibilities. He was almost like a millionaire in Indian terms. He said, 5 years ago, I decided to give it all up and come to Vrindavan. Because I realized I'm not a sadhu. I am a sadhu. I'm unsaintly. So what I decided to do is come to Vrindavan, and I thought, what I can do maybe here is, I'm not a sadhu. But maybe I can serve the sadhus. Because if I serve the sadhus, maybe I'll become saintly. So he said, 5 years ago, I gave up everything. I came to Vrindavan. And what I do now is every single day, I cook 3 times a day. And I go out and I feed the sadhus. That's all I do. 7 days a week. I got no other engagement. That's all I do. I just go out and feed the sadhus. So he said, I've been looking at you. You are a sadhu. I'm like, if you knew what was going through my mind, Prabhu. I said, I'm not. You are a sadhu. He said, no, you are a sadhu. You sit down. So then I sat down. So then he brought a plate, served me. I was like, incredible prasadam. Spicy, but incredible. He sat down, he served me. And while he was serving me, like, he was sitting right in front of me, like watching me. It was like, in the West, like, you would never do that. It's like, it would feel a bit intrusive to do that, you know? But he was like watching me. Like, so I was also like, but I could understand that he was just so eager to serve. It was like, eat one little thing. It's like, do you want one more? It's like, give me a bit of time here, you know? And he just sat there and he served and he just said, and then as I sat there eating, the thing he just kept saying to me was, Prabhu, you just please pray. I can do this till the end of my life. Just please pray for me. This is all I want to do. I just want to serve the Vaishnavas. I don't want to do anything else. You just please pray that I can continue doing this. I'm like, that was such a humbling experience. And then I went back to my room and I thought, yeah. So Krishna gave me the final lesson of Vrindavan. I was trying to figure it all out in my mind through introspection, through my contemplation, through my reflection. Here it is. Here is the story of Vrindavan. Here is the spirit of Vrindavan, that one simply becomes a selfless servant and gives themselves to others. And that is Vrindavan. So therefore we go to Boma Vrindavan to get inspired to see. So here, Kaviraj Goswami is saying the ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness is Vrindavan, because that's the place where everyone is naturally inclined to love Krishna and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. Vrindavan takes many forms. Vrindavan is in the transcendent realm, so through the teachings of the Vaishnavas, they connect us to Vrindavan in transcendence. Vrindavan is also a state of consciousness, so the Vaishnavas, by their example, they introduce us to Vrindavan through their own consciousness. Vrindavan is also can be created by a devotee, so a Vaishnav, by their service, creates Vrindavan around them, and then ultimately Vrindavan was manifest in this world, and therefore the devotee, by their inspiration, guides us to go to Boma Vrindavan, take shelter. And in this way, if we live in Vrindavan, and that may mean any one of these four, if we live in Vrindavan, Krishna consciousness becomes so natural. That is basically the purport of this verse. That if we live in Vrindavan, Krishna consciousness becomes very natural, but that must mean that we understand what is Vrindavan in a deeper way. And therefore, all these wonderful insights are given by the Acharyas. Hare Krishna. Yes, some thoughts. I don't know if anyone has any questions, or maybe if anyone has any realizations on Vrindavan, Vrindavan consciousness, if anyone has. Otherwise, we can end if there is... No, yes, Priyojan Prabhu.
I'm looking at what you're saying, and I'm wondering, much like you say, how do I get there? This is out of this world, you know, and it is out of this world. It's out of my world anyway, and because when I read the appreciation of Vrinda Devi. And how she's going to take us to Rajabhumi. She wants it, she says. And I said, but how? He says, and she then, she says, your desire. First thing she says, so the desire is like a first stage, you know, it seemed to me. And that's where I am. I have only desire. But I don't have any of the... And then you pointed out, sadhu is there. Mm. And has a process, and then he tells you, do this, do that. So I haven't even reached that stage where I'm asking what he wants of me. You know? So it was very enlightening for me in so many ways. And I do appreciate this class. Because you gave such nice examples from your own experience, and it helped me. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. You mentioned obviously there are the different types of Vrindavan, and regarding Boma Vrindavan, we also know that as time goes by. Boma Vrindavan is going to get more and more covered as Mayapur obviously is going to get more and more prominent. How does one reconcile that with the concept that we also have to bring people to Vrindavan? I mean, obviously there's Vrindavan in the heart, spiritual Vrindavan. We create our own, you know, Vrindavan around the world, but the actual womb of Vrindavan, how do we reconcile that? That's going to get covered as well.
Yeah, it's explained that Boma Vrindavan is two different types. When Krishna is present on the earth, then Boma Vrindavan is Prakatadam. So it's actually the actual Vrindavan is manifest when Krishna is here. However, when Krishna leaves, then Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, becomes aprakata or unmanifested. But then it's known as Drishyamana Dham. It means that one can still, if one goes into deeper consciousness, one can still access the Dham through their spiritual vision. So the Vrindavan that we see now is called Drishyamana Dham, Boma. Now what you're saying is that the Dham becomes more covered as time goes by. That's a fact. But Prabhupada was a modern day Goswami. And basically what happened is that the Goswamis were instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lupta Tirtha Udhara Ar Vairagya Shikshan. Lupta Tirtha Udhar. Excavate the holy places. And therefore Prabhupada, as a follower of the Goswamis, what he did was he basically excavated Vrindavan, in the sense that Vrindavan is already there, but by the community, by the Krishna Balaram temple, by the Vaishnav Sangha that Srila Prabhupada has created through his movement, one can through that Sangha still access Vrindavan. And therefore it's Srila Prabhupada, as I said, Vrindavan is the gift of the Vaishnavas. You may say, like, how is it the gift of the Vaishnavas? The Dham is there. How is it that it's the gift of the Vaishnavas? It's the gift of the Vaishnavas because it's through the consciousness that the Vaishnavas create that we can access the Dham. So yes, although Vrindavan becomes covered with time, because Srila Prabhupada's movement and community and sincere Vaishnavas will also become stronger in Vrindavan, still for anyone who sincerely desires to see Vrindavan, it will still be accessible. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was the ambassador of Vrindavan, because he wanted everyone to go to Vrindavan. But what he wanted to do was create an appropriate facility so that when people go there, they can actually see Vrindavan. So yeah, it's possible. It's all there. Prabhupada said, you don't have to go beyond the four walls of the Krishna Balaram temple. I've brought all the holy places into the four walls of the Krishna Balaram temple. You don't need to go anywhere else. And factually, even now in Vrindavan, one of my godbrothers is there, Adi Keshav Prabhu, and lived in Vrindavan many years. And practically for 2 decades, he never went outside of the walls of Krishna Balaram temple. You're living in Vrindavan, like, come on, man, let's go to like Kesi Ghat. Let's go here, let's go there. I mean, not that it's also nice to go there, but he didn't go anywhere. He was just there because it's there by the vision created of the community and consciousness of the devotees and by Prabhupada's grace, ultimately. So Prabhupada was, once Prabhupada was in his room and he looked out the window. He was somewhere in the west. And he was looking out of the window and one devotee said, Prabhupada, what are you remembering? Prabhupada said, I'm remembering how I was living in Radha Damodar and I was looking out of my window. You see that famous picture. Prabhupada was looking out of the window here in the west. The devotee said, what are you thinking about? Prabhupada said, I was remembering Radha Damodar and how I was looking out of the window and seeing the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada looked at the devotee and he said, it was too much ecstatic. It was too much ecstatic. It was like, that was nice. Yes, Vrindavan is too much ecstatic if we have the vision. So maybe we'll end there. Thank you so much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.